The 2024 Banking with Life Client Only event is coming up this October, Friday the 25th, Saturday the 26th. I'm excited to see you, excited to share the news with you.
How many people were there last year?
A little over 130.
How many states?
22 to 23.
Yeah. Okay. So right. The only kind of event where you've got the minority, really the minority, right? Y'all see what's going on social media and online with how IBC and the language of banking is being used. You know that what you're doing is different, and there is one opportunity in the year to go hang out with a bunch of other people who are all doing something very similar. I don't think you should miss it.
You shouldn't miss it. I mean, it's going to be full of educational talks. You know, breakfast, lunch, the details will be forthcoming in an email, gives you the opportunity to register. And so I don't want to get deep into the details, but I'm telling you, a room full of like-minded people that are not ashamed to be paying premium, actually controlling the banking function. And last year, Ryan, we had clients that were maybe a month or two brand new clients in clients that were 10 or 12 years practicing.
Yeah.
So there's a broad array of people from all over the country doing different things, but they're all focused on controlling the banking function in their life properly, correctly.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. That's a big deal. I don't know where you can go and find that many people in one room.
Yeah. And had the opportunity to hear directly from number one, number two, I mean, senior executive leadership at a company that a lot of our clients own. You know, in what other domain of finance today does that ever happen? And nobody go and meet the head of some index fund, okay, or the guys who write up the 401k plans. But you get that here. You hear directly from the people who work at and are in charge of the companies themselves. You meet other people, like you said, brand new clients, people who've been doing it for over a decade. None of this. Look, there's plenty of places. You want to go do the crypto. You want to go do the real estate investing and do into the new flashy, fun things that are really great to sell you right down a river. There's a lot of that out there. People have a lot of opportunity to go do that. This is not that. It's a nice little break from that. If you were there last year, you know, the venue was very nice. It's a great time to be in Texas in October. I enjoyed it. You know, it'll be a good time.
Ryan's book will be out. The opportunity to get it autographed. Other new merch. I'm looking forward to it. You know, the first one, this will be the third one. The first one was really good. You know, 100 people there, 20 different states. More people were there last year in the second one, more states. I think this one is going to be bigger and better, regardless of how many people come. I'm excited about the talks and the people talking.
Yeah.
The team will be there. You'll be able to get to meet them. I know most of you have, a lot of you have met them, and all of you, all of our clients have spoken with them, but to be able to meet them is, it's a great opportunity.
Former podcast guests, you know, they come.
Oh yeah.
It's for clients of James Nethery and for my clients. And again, details will be in the email. Sign up will be through email. Last time we had a lot of questions about where's the link? It'll be provided by email. Okay, there is no public page because it's not for the public. It'll be sent directly to you. All right.
Yeah, the only agents that'll be there will be zero outside agents, but there are agents that are affiliated with my office and they'll be there and their clients. Yeah. And it's not a sales fest. You know, it's not come and see the next great thing to, you know, be pressured into purchasing before you have a birthday or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Calm, cool, relaxed, and educational and fun. Yep. Did I mention fun? Yeah, it'll be fun. I assure you. Okay. Hope to see you there.
See you there.
In this episode, Ryan and I preview his new book, How to Buy a Whole Life. And we continue the lovely discussion into the financial decision-making process based on social media, which his book is not. We had fun doing so. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery.
I'm your co-host, Ryan Griggs.
And I'm sorry you couldn't be here in person. We've had a lovely conversation for just about at least an hour and a half. It's almost therapeutic for me. But it was a great conversation, and maybe you'll have the opportunity to, you know, participate.
Sometime. Current clients do. I mean, they can come see us talk in action at the end of October 2024. The Banking with Life client-only event.
Yeah, it'll be the third one, and it's going to be good. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah,
because there's a lot going on. You know, there. I believe that it is going to be better than the previous two, and the previous two were very, very good in my personal little opinion. But I'm excited about what people are going to talk about. And historically, and I think this is no different, you know, as Ryan and I talk, and we do talk regularly, I don't say, hey, Ryan, you should talk about this. He doesn't say to me, James, you should talk about this, or, you know, what's Barry going to talk about, which will be obvious what Barry talks about, his fourth book coming and the fifth book in the works. But even though we don't have these communications, and even as we have spoken other places, it seems like our talks develop naturally, and they're at least synergistic. You know, they're, in addition to being compelling and educational, they fit very nicely together. And that happens organically. And maybe it's because of our closeness. I don't know. But I like that.
Yeah, that's certainly a big part of it. I think what comes to mind for me is just how unusual of an event it is. You know, it's not a you think of other conferences or conventions that you might go to or be willing to travel to go to around like a specific topic. I think of like political conventions, or maybe you travel to go see a speaker, like Tucker Carlson's doing a speaking tour, you know, or Jordan Peterson does a speaking tour and go see that talk, you know.
Or a particular interest. Maybe I'm interested in real estate or particular whatever industry one may be
in. Or gun show. Like I think of gun shows, you know, you can go see different vendors, or like a chamber of commerce type convention. This is different than all of that.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's, we're a gathering around a central idea. That's true. But it's even more narrow than that, because these are, you know, the attendance is restricted to just our clientele. So it's not just people who are interested in the idea. It's people who are doing it, and not just any kind of way, you know, it not just the grab bag that you see online. It's a very systematic, grounded in Nelson, grounded in becoming your own banker type of approach. So it's very different. It's a different kind of environment than what you could find pretty much anywhere else, because it's like, oh, all these people are going about organizing their own financial affairs in the same structured way. Of course, each with their own individual nuance, but the core message, the core structure is the same. I mean, it's all
the principles, and the foundational philosophy is exactly the same.
And it's not just coming to, you know, receive knowledge from the stage. I mean, we're giving talks. There is some of that.
Right.
But a lot of the time, is the unscheduled free interaction meals. Last year, I had clients who we have, it's in a beautiful location in Fort Worth, so things are very accessible in late October, which is like one of the 4 weeks in a 52 week year where the weather in Texas is perfect.
You'd think somebody thought through that.
Some sort of thought process behind it. But I had just groups of my own clients who had never met each other before, who just instantly get off well, and then they peel off and go to like one of these wonderful steakhouses nearby. And I don't have any role in it. Like they just
like you even wanted to control who talks to who and about what
or go where. You know, I don't have to schedule or structure or any of that. I have to, like, little strategy session. I mean, all of that micromanaging is unnecessary because the attraction's already there and people are, you know, how are you doing this? What are you, all the different professions and backgrounds people have and what they're using loans for and how they manage their cash flows in relation to their policies. And you can't, you can't pre-program that. You know, there's not like a, you can't package that and make it a commodity and buy it off the shelf, you know. For just the normal price of like a day-long event that includes food. You know, it's not expensive to attend.
No.
For, I feel like I sound like I'm selling the membership. I mean,
well,
membership.
It's okay. They want to know. It's okay. I mean, if you're a client, you can come if you wish. If you're not a client, you have an opportunity. If you're a client and can't or don't want to attend, it's, you know, we'll miss you.
Right.
Right? But I don't – there's nothing – literally the only things that are being sold – at that event, if we are going to have some new merch, I'm excited about that. But books, education. There's nothing, you know, you're not going to, an attendee will not be compelled to do anything.
Right.
Except maybe examine what they're doing, consider what they're doing, where they're at in their, you know, endeavors. There's nothing going to be sold out. Just think through that for a moment. If I'm going to go somewhere, if I go to, and I keep bringing up real estate, I don't know why, but it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, you're in them. I'm not everybody, but I know there's a lot of people who enjoy real estate and participate in real estate and at whatever level. You go to a real estate event, a group, and I've been a part of many of them over the years, still active and some quasi-active in one or two that I like because I like to learn. I like to meet people. But it's almost like you're walking into, you're the fish in the barrel and going to be sold everything from the stage. And that even occurs in industry events. That's why I choose not to go to a lot of places. Don't sell me something that you're excited about so you can gin up your additional revenue stream. And I'm a capitalist. God bless you. I want to learn something. And I want to meet people.
Yeah.
Right? I want to meet unique people. A little weird. Individual, creative. And so my point here is I have an opportunity to go somewhere to meet other like-minded individuals from all over the country, different levels of different industries, doing things at different levels and all of the different interests. But fundamentally, when it comes to capital, when it comes to your money that you control, we're all doing the same thing. We've been participating, you know, for some time, or maybe we're relatively new. I get to walk in without the pressure that I'm going to be sold something.
Yeah.
And then I get to walk in and I'm not going to be judged because I happen to be interested in and participating in this idea of controlling the banking function. And I have an understanding of what that means. It's not like I'm going to be judged,
right,
you know, because I'm doing this thing and you're not.
Right.
That's that alone, just with that pressure not in existence. Yes, it's a hard yes.
And speaking of things to sell,
some of the merch.
So this is, I guess you'll be able to see it on one of these cameras.
Well, you know, yes. So,
yeah.
Will you turn him up just a tad, please? Thank you.
So this is How to Buy Whole Life, a framework for becoming your own banker. This is the first
book off the press.
Yeah.
Right. There's only this and one other in existence that he's going to own in the future. This is the last step in any revision that may need or may not need to occur.
Yeah.
The first book.
And I mean, I'm pretty happy with that. At every point in the process, some of y'all clients may have who ask about it, you know, we'll talk, I'll share a little more precisely with people, but it's been a brutal process. You know, anybody can call themselves an editor or, you know, book
publisher, author,
person. Yeah. And so I've encountered, I feel like Trump, I know them all. No, but I encountered a lot of them, and at every step of the revision or editing process, there's like errors or it's like a new thing goes wrong. And so when I finally got this and what is this month? September, early this month, September, I was bracing for impact.
You got it last week or no, earlier this week.
But I really like it. Like, we did it on purpose. So there's like a nice, this is the hardcover, of course.
What? You mean there's a hardcover book that speaks with some kind of knowledge? No, that speaks with knowledge and authority on the infinite banking concept? Wonder why that happened. I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah.
Well, it's like little things that, okay, so there's, you know, separate dust jacket, but then, you know, the same text is also on the physically printed cover, which is nice. That's how I like it. 236 pages forward from James Nethery himself. Introduction, 6 chapters. The first on policy infrastructure. The second on how to avoid a modified endowment contract. Chapter 3, using your policy. Chapter 4, policy loans. Chapter 5, direct and non-direct recognition. Chapter 6, the policy purchase process. And then a conclusion. Not ghostwritten.
What?
Not. And look, you know, people out there want to do that. Fine. Good.
You mean you didn't go, Mr. Griggs, you didn't go to AI and type in and then retype in and, you know, and then develop with AI the content of that book with all the buzzwords?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I think the day you got it in, maybe the next day, you did a Facebook post.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not friends with us on Facebook, you should be. If you haven't liked our business, you don't have a business page.
I think,
you
know. I do, but
we do. James C. Nether and Associates, go on Facebook and like us. It's okay. You know, it's like you're not even going to be sold something there.
Yeah.
It's not a marketing platform. It's not. But because I meant this. So the day he received the book, you know, I believe it was that day or the next, you made a Facebook post and you had some pictures and, you know, I loved it and I made a comment. I know I'm Scots Irish, right? I'm a bit of a smart aleck sometimes, right? But, you know, I got a tender heart. It's all in love. And you got 92 likes. You have 92 likes and 25 comments. So
for me, that's like a lot.
If you need a hit of dopamine, just go look at them, right? I really truly meant this is, when I get past my, you know, I said it's about dang time, number one, because, you know, it's been a laborious process, right? But then I said, seriously, this will be the, all cap letters, T-H-E, the book to own, to read, and to reread after someone has caught the idea of becoming your own banker, the infinite banking concept, and has read that book. So this will be the resource, the only resource, or the best resource, in my opinion, that exists. You read this more than once. You get a good, firm understanding. Don't get lost in the numbers, right? This book was printed in 2000. This is 2024 as we speak. Things have changed in the industry. Don't get lost in the numbers. They're fine. They're okay. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them, and there's no replacement for this work. I'm just saying, after you've read that and you are fascinated, right? There is, and I don't want to say companion because that will stand alone, but this is the next book you'll want to own. My opinion, How to Buy Whole Life. What's the subtitle?
A Framework for Becoming Your Own Banker.
Oh, A Framework for Becoming Your Own Banker. Yeah. So when can I buy it, sir?
Yes. Many people have been asking that. Thank you. Many more people have been asking that than I thought would ask that. So we're here in mid-September. Banking with Life event is late October.
Which I'm pushing for the release date you know, at the event, right, in October. So whatever you got to do to make your publishers like.
And this is the bound proof, right? There's a couple changes. There's a little error on the table of contents, for instance. So a couple of changes are going to be made to the file. The full print order is placed and paid for. By the way, also not a buy-on-demand, print-on-demand.
What?
Like traditional public, like printed, manufactured book, not Amazon, you know, made in China. It's shipped out of Maryland. Okay, that's where the printer is. Just a real book.
And look, so that we will record more about the book individually, and I'm not trying to, I just want to squeeze in here. There are more things to come, right? So, and we'll edit it out if you wish, but there'll be an audio. No, I didn't.
Yeah, that'll be an audiobook version.
I know, I just didn't want to say Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying it'll be accessible. The audio version will be accessible.
Yeah.
And there'll also, you know, within time, right, there'll be a narrated version and a paperback version.
Yeah.
So that crosses, if you like to read or listen or learn, you will have the opportunity. Yeah. Right? Just...
Yeah, it's coming. The short answer is it's coming. I've had a lot of people ask about pre-orders. No, there's not a way to pre-order yet. There will be. When there is a way, that will be announced. I get that everybody and their mother just can't wait to be on Amazon like yesterday. I totally get that. You mentioned the Audible thing. Eventually, that'll come. But first, we're going to have our own internal distribution, GriggsCapitalStrategies.com. There will be a store functionality, buy the physical copy, right? Hard copy, paperback. There's going to be a digitally viewable version. I won't get too far into the technology, but there's ways to make a nice HTML5 friendly, attractive, aesthetically pleasing digital version at a lower price point available. And then I'm going to do the audiobook, so I'll read it and that'll be available. Once all of that is set up and I'm comfortable with it, then we can go to these big retailer type things on Amazon. I mean, we're going to do it right before we do it big. I know that in America, they think that the opposite is true, that to do it right, you have to do it big. No. We're just going to get things correct, right? Have the individual distribution on my own deal first. All these people, creators and influencers who like to complain about the censorship, you know, they fall over themselves to defer as much authority over their own life as possible to these big platforms run by people who they know don't like them. And then we turn around and complain when those platforms exercise the authority we deferred to them. So that blows my mind. And so we're just not going to do that way, right? We're going to first focus on my own platform, own website, own distribution channel, make sure that's set up, make sure the people who have wanted it, who have gotten in touch, get it. You know, I have some sort of autograph type thing if people are interested in that or not. And get all that clear. And then Amazon, big wide world, next year, right? Next year, 2025. So the way to order late this year, 2024, November, December, 2024, will be GriggsCapitalStrategies.com. I'll make it real obvious, real easy. James and I spent a lot of time this morning just talking about processes and websites and all this. Spent a lot of time trying to configure and specify how to do the online presence properly, efficiently, accessibly. I'm in the process of doing all that, right? So that's kind of
I gotta say, I just wanted to bring that up, that the audio version, that ability, the paperback ability, the paperback ability, and the digital version is coming. Right? But don't leave out bankingwithlife.com, because whenever he gets his store and all that process set up, you can go to bankingwithlife.com and get a discount too, because I want my people, I want the world to read this, frankly.
I didn't even think of that. If you want to carry inventory, that's a whole other...
No, you can handle all that. It'll be a flow through. Yeah. Like I said, we talked about these things for an hour and a half before we invited you to join. We have previously, we just talk regularly, but we previously talked about this book a lot. And I love the fact that it's not going on Amazon. Right, I don't know what share of the royalties that I don't know all of that, and I don't really care. But here, you go to Amazon, you type in, and they're going to bring you type in infinite banking, whatever you type in, it brings up all of these other books. This book does not belong beside all of those other books that come up. So,
yeah, there's a lot wrong with, and people are starting to figure it out. I mean, the royalty, first of all. There is no money in selling books and writing and selling books. Like, unless you're the uber duber top, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of copies sold type thing, the margins are, it barely pays for itself, put it that way. In fact, the better margin is on the lower retail price point, self-distributed digital versions. That's really where, which is beautiful, right? You think in terms of the economics, like make something easily accessible at a low price point that has a higher margin to the sell, right? That's all online. That's all on the website. So I'll have a platform where you can access with the username and login, a digital version that'll come to. But as far as like the physical product, this will be for sale through my website, and eventually, we'll see how that goes. Look, I'm not interested in being just the biggest, everyone wants to, we're going to build a movement, we're going to just take over the world, everything gets global. Everyone loves to think in these big, giant, collective, global type terms, whereas Nelson would always say, one more, the one, come talk to the one. So we're just going to do the one, and we're going to get that right. And if that means that the everyone is a business consulting expert, right? Because they've gotten bombarded with the sales ads from everybody, and they've watched some. And so they, I'm so smart. I know how to plan other people's businesses. And they all want to share that. Everybody's excited to share that, which I appreciate the enthusiasm. But that's not the game I'm playing, right? We were talking beforehand about the flow of clientele, the total clientele that we can properly serve, that I, it's Greg's Capital Strategies is me and my mother, Kim, and that you want to talk about like direct boutique type service. I mean, that's what we do, and we get that very, very right. And that's what the standard's going to remain. So if, it's a problem if this goes, number one, 10,000 copies in a week, that I'm not able to properly serve all of those people in that short amount of time. And I'm cognizant of that, and that's okay. I don't need to go hire the call center in India to pretend that I can overnight do all. No, there's an appropriate process. There's an appropriate timeline, just like there's an appropriate pattern to cash value growth over time. And we're going to embrace that and do it in the proper order. So it's okay that people who know about this podcast, who know about me from other sources, it's okay that y'all get served well and best first. And then, the big wide world is welcome to come around, come along as they naturally and organically find out about it.
That's appropriate and correct and natural. the boutique, your terminology, which I love, the personal ability to engage with real people properly, as opposed to the volumes, whatever they may or may not be. If you listen to, you know, someone that's like, well, I'm a global, I'm doing all of these things. I've discovered over my 33 years in the life insurance business, going to these different, just knowing, you know, and seeing participating experience, right? That, and this is just me, right? And I come with all my opinions and all my biases and all of my experience. When someone says, oh, you know, I write this much business, or, oh, we have this many clients, or, oh, we're in these big numbers, you know, it's more than cut them in half. I used to be gracious and say, well, just cut those in half and you'll be closer to accurate. And it's really worse than that. So my whole point here is, and I'm not trying to beat them up, I'm just saying that our whole structure here, and we've grown to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people, you know, it's because not trying to take over the world. It is not a top down. It is a bottom up. It is one, the next one, the individual, right? And that's extremely important to me. And the proper relationship, you know, the foundational correctness and whatever it is the individual is doing with confidence and understanding and knowing they understand what they're doing. They understand why they're doing that in the midst of all the noise. And I'm not ever going to stop talking about the noise. I'm just not. Previously, I thought, man, I talk about that too much. I need to quit. No, I'm not going to not talk about the noise. All right. So when you... the idea, you catch the idea, it makes sense to you, it resonates with you. Nelson's work, not all of the other bastardizations and all of the marketing miracles and all of those things. When this makes sense to you at a fundamental level and you want to learn more and you learn more and you learn more, and I'm talking about learning more, avoiding the noise, spotting the noise, recognizing the noise as part of the education. Right. And then you get to where I want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing, who will work with me on an individual level. Right. And then how? I mean, whoo.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Where what is? Whatever you consider success at whatever volume, that's where it happens. And then the more it happens at the you and me level, it the movement or, you know, whatever you want to call it, is going to do what it does. It's going to grow at its own pace or what have you.
Right. It will or it won't. And yeah. I mean, yeah.
And you know, there's the old saying that, you know, some will, some won't, you know, some will, most won't. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and part of talk about the proper foundation, you know, and along the lines too of discussing our internal processes and how we equip new clients who get in touch. And you know, a lot of the time, I think of just calls this week, which is the same every week, is just undoing those preconceived misconceptions that have been picked up from the marketing funnels online. The dump in, we had this fun conversation. I mean, I had a client was asking a particular question about his own policy and PUA premium and the relationship between that and cash value. And, you know, there's a, with this particular company, there's a reservation period. You pay your PUA premium and 14 days go by, and then the cash value associated with that PUA premium is allocated to the policy, right? And a little question about just the logistics of
that's kind of mechanics value of that particular life insurance policy.
Right, just company, that, whatever. Just that company, that policy, yeah. And so part of that inquiry from this client, I needed to get a better idea of what the transaction history had been, right? When did he pay and what did he pay to... so I know where he is coming from. And so I go have a conversation with the home office of this particular life insurance company. And one of the staff members responds, and he used this dump in language. You know, this is a paid professional staff member at a home office talking about dump in premium. And look, maybe I was overworked that week. And it was, you know, summer's changing, seasons are changing, weather's changing. I was a little threadbare, right? I mean, I bowed. I did a nice, polite response, but it's like, how about let's use proper professional terminology?
How about
that, right? There is no such thing as a dump in premium. You cannot go and get a life insurance policy with a dump in rider.
It exists in social media terminology. That's it.
Only where it exists.
That's it.
Same with overfunding. I'm going to overfund. No, you are not.
Both are marketing and the overfunding. Those are that's marketing terminology. I get it. You know, if I want to sell you something, I want to paint these pictures in your mind and overfunding.
Yeah. There is no overfunding. Element of a whole life contract has specified unchanging figures and then specified maximum figures that cannot be exceeded. There is no going over the maximum allowed PUA premium on a PUA rider. Every PUA rider on every whole life policy from every company has a specified maximum. Now, whether you can pay that maximum in every policy year out into the future while still preserving your non-max status, that is a separate question. Yep. But the fact is, for the PUA rider, contractual terminology, the specifics for which for your policy are always listed in the data page front matter of your contract, there will be a specified to the dollar, maybe to the penny, PUA maximum that can be paid. I don't care what the agent has told you. I don't care what the online social media marketers have told you. There is always a specified maximum that applies in any given year. And in fact, what that maximum is, more than like every case I know of, that maximum in the future can change. It's not going to go up, but it will go down if you don't make full utilization of that PUA rider. So this, you know, the idea that these limits can we can just blow clear over them, it's like, no. What that language, this dump in overfunding type verbiage refers to is the same sort of stuff as the 1090. It's the same sort of stuff of higher number, bigger, sooner, better. All it refers to is a disproportionately large PUA premium payment in the first policy year, potentially on the first day of the first policy year, relative to the PUA premium that someone expects or thinks they can pay in following years. That's all it means. It does not mean going over any special limits. There is no other technical grounding for that sort of language at all. So it's, in my view, better to just speak directly and specifically about what the policy and its riders will and will not allow. Right to the point, right? Clear, specific.
There's a lot there. I mean, there's a lot.
That
there.
One triggers me because I had a question, you know, this current client.
I read the response.
Yeah, well, the guy had a policy.
You know, and it was appropriate.
And the guy says, you know, I've got this policy. Well, you know, this other company, they'll just let me pay however much more I want. You know, the companies you work with don't let you do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like an ABC moderator at a Trump debate, right? It's like the question's framed. It's like, well, the other guy says it's fine. And you're telling me I can't. Yeah, no. And in fact, later on, after that, I shared that response. He later shared.
Yeah, I was talking about the response to the home office.
Yeah. Well, this client later shared documentation with that policy. And I'm like, so we did a call. I'm like, hey, turn to this page.
Yeah.
Look this far, you know, right. 3 inches down.
Right.
There's the number that says in English that there's a limit.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so much there because, and there, I mean, because there is, number one, but You're talking about terminology. You know, words have meaning. You know, they also have power. That's why words and things are used to manipulate thinking, you know, what have you. And I'm not saying manipulation is always bad. You know, I mean, my back needs to be manipulated every now and then, and it's good. Okay. But the idea of dump in, I mean, I have seen, you know, directly and have been shared with many, many, many times. And it's like, well, you know, you need to pay 10 times or 20 times or 15 times the PUA in year one. Why? And I've seen presentations. Well, this company allows that, and they get into the mechanics of that. Like, that makes a big difference. Okay. I get how or why it can be done. Well, that has nothing to do with anything other than building a justifying a policy, in my terminology, that's, you know, it's a Frankenstein policy. But we're talking about terminology, right? The dump in, the overfunding. Overfunding came from the universal life industry in the 80s and the early 90s. Oh, you can overfund this. Or, and then the, I love the investment. This is investment grade life insurance. As to imply whatever you have
is not
therefore is not as good.
It's consumer grade.
It's like, no, I can overfund this. You know, in the first year, like, you can't, or, you know, you should just because you can. It's like, okay. Well, then, you know, that kind of bleeds into the, you know, the language, the broad terminology that's used: properly structured, specifically structured, specially designed. All of this terminology on, you know, this, you want to become your own banker, you want to get into infinite banking, you know, we use dividend paying, you know, policies specifically designed. That is so broad, you can run 15 trucks through it. Okay, what does that mean? It means whatever they're trying to convey, whoever's conveying that, right? But what kind of a process, what kind of a relationship, what kind of conversations, legitimate conversations to build a proper foundation for whatever it is you're doing or want to do in the future? Yeah. Right. That's almost a flashy, you know, a buzzword, what have you, to get you to, you know, from point A to point B in the shortest possible time frame.
Yes.
Right. To get something enforced, they get paid, you're off alone wandering in the wilderness most of the time.
Right.
And then what do I do? How do I do this? That book will help you. You know, this channel will help you, in my opinion. And then it kind of goes off into the financial, we talked about earlier, like the financial decision making yes. process that exists in general today, and how distorted it is whenever you, me, us, we, all of us are making financial decisions based off of TikTok, YouTube, name the platform.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, no. And you, no. And it's amazing to me because I have these conversations day in and day out, right? And we're not only undoing someone's thinking, or not really undoing their thinking, encouraging them to consider real, more appropriate, proper, true information, right? Then that would inform them. See, well, like, you took your client right through the language, right into the contract. Oh, yeah. My gosh, life insurance is a contract, right? There are things that you can do and cannot do, things you can do and things you must do. And if you don't do, there's going to be consequences. All that's spelled out, right? You don't have to be an attorney. No. You don't have to be a life insurance expert. You know, you don't have to be any of that. All you have to do is be able to read English. See how, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, It's
not that complicated.
It is not.
Yeah.
I mean, but the idea that somebody makes financial decisions at this level, these are kind of commitments. You know, life insurance policies are built to pay a premium, right? And when you understand what's going on, I believe that you'll want to pay a premium as long as possible. But whenever the decision is made short in short order based on a great presentation or a great persona that appears to be authoritative. I mean, you can say anything online. You can present yourself any way you wish. If I wish that you, the listener, could see some of the behind the scenes of what and who you're watching and listening to online, you would be insulted, you'd be shocked, you'd be appalled. Not all of them, and I'm not saying it, but it's like people can present themselves in any way, and then, oh, they throw up some life insurance documentation. It's like, hey, this and this to, you know, support their presentation when that's not going to have a good outcome. So then, and I'm not saying they're all train wrecks, I'm not saying that at all, but then not only are you, in your terminology, undoing the thinking or expanding the thinking, a lot of times, many times, you're undoing what was done once they understand actually what they did.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've gone back and forth on promotion, and you know, everything that is done here in my office, and I know yours as well, is organic. You know, we don't promote, we don't pay for subs and views and whatever. And so, you know, I'm getting sucked off into the vortex of the algorithm. You know, it's like, oh, you got to release a podcast every Friday. You know, it's like, you know, I've got a robust life. I'm a busy guy. And I like my peace, and on and on and on. I've got lots of things that I could be doing. I'm just sharing with you, okay? And so, but I also don't make my commitments that I cannot keep, period. I'm just saying, but getting sucked off into, I mean, I don't want to be owned by an algorithm, right? I don't. I'm not interested. Then it's like you get sucked off into, you know, the online marketing. You go and go to your browser. We have to go to our browsers here incognito to search Banking with Life. And all of these people come up that are using Banking with Life as a keyword, search word, SEO. And it's like, you know, perfect. I believe our clients, my clients, can see through all that whenever they go through these, you know, glorious presentations for whatever is being promoted. Once they see that and they spend any time listening to me, listening to Ryan here on this podcast, I think that they'll be able to, they can spot the noise and they're like, no, I'm going to go here. And it will serve them well. And I'm not trying to sell, promote, but actually am. You want direct, solid, foundational, fundamentally correct results with the infinite banking concept, I think you're listening to the place where you can get it.
Yeah.
My little opinion.
And I stress too, in conversations with clients and throughout the new book, that you can evaluate what you're told for yourself.
Yes.
Right? Like, you don't have to take someone's word for it. I think Americans are so conditioned through the public education system and then through Wall Street and the marriage between Wall Street and government, tax qualified plans, that you're just too stupid, or like it's too complicated. And of course, complicated looks and feels a lot like sophisticated. And so if it's complicated, it must be sophisticated. And you know, I'm busy, I have a family, I have a life, I have a job, I'm not going to go learn all of that complication, so I'm not going to be sufficiently sophisticated to understand it, so I need to take your word for it. And so we do what we're told, right? That's like the path to obedience. And I think where I come from, you can see it in the Whole Life Insurance Mechanics series, which is still free, available on YouTube. You'll see it in the book. My clients see it through my processes, that all of this can be understood. Clarity is available. Clarity is available. If something doesn't make sense, if something is not computing, that's okay. Like the answer exists. It can be explained. You know, I had a client this week, you know, I hear online, you know, interest and dividends, or I think we were talking about this. Interest and dividends, like those are pretty much the same. Right? It's like, no, they're not. Any number of things that might appear internally inconsistent, contradictory, unexplained, unexaminable. Like, the answers exist. This is the whole life, the mutual life insurance industry is over 100 years old. This is not new. No. Fundamentally, what we're doing is not new. It's not cryptocurrency. God bless the people. They want to go learn the blockchain and the coding and the apps, and you're going to squirrel around the different lawsuits with the SEC. You go have at it, right? That is all of it. These companies are old. The product is old. This is not new, right? This, the whole, the concept of whole life insurance, of quantifying risk, of evaluating mortality tables, those concepts predate the country. They're older than the United States of America. We're not doing anything new here. It's just taking what's available today and calibrating and optimizing for you. But the underlying substance of it is very old.
Yeah, that's, I mean, a great, I mean, the mortality statistics predates life insurance, right?
Yes. I mean, you go hundreds of years, you can go back.
Hundreds of years. Back to the plague, the Black Plague and the bubonic plague. You know, then, but, you know, and I love that. But then the uninitiated is then, they find themselves swimming in all the language, right? Every industry has its own language,
yeah,
right? And so there's a bit of a, you know, challenge there. And then people using other language, right? And just, you said calibrated for you. That then, what does that mean, right? That's very broad, like, properly structured, right? Well, properly structured, what does that mean? It gets down, it means something different for each of you. What's calibrated to me at my age and my duration and my income and my mortality is different. It requires a different calibration than for Mr. Griggs at his age, his mortality, which is different from each of you. Even if you're the same age, your policy shouldn't look like everybody else at that same age, right? So it takes, to me, some of the foundational work. You got conceptually, you have numbers. If you don't get the concept, I promise the numbers don't matter. I promise, right? But if you understand what's going on, you'll know what to do, quoting Nelson Nash, right? When you get the concept and the philosophy here, what is that roadmap? Part of the roadmap is continuing your education, you know, forever, right? But when it comes to the infinite banking concept, this book will be a natural, I'm going to say required, right? Part of your education. It will help you to determine what properly structured means to you. What calibrated for your benefit means and what that may look like. That's a big deal.
Yep. And which is why we do all that we do for ongoing client support, right? The event.
Yeah.
The ongoing availability for advisory conversations, for checking in and refreshing. Like, that's part of the deal because that's part of what IBC is. This lifestyle, this philosophy, it's this process, this system, right? It's not the commodified, you know, drag and drop, buy here, sign here, we're done, off we go. That's just not what this is. Like, if the conventional way of thinking about purchasing financial assets, about the types of financial assets that are out there, if that conventional way of thinking is working so well, then why are we considering IBC and dividend paying whole life in the first place? Like, if we want to stay married to this, what's the rate of return? You know, am I in the, I had a client, not a client, person
wants get to be in touch,
you know, asking about, well, you know, how do the indexed ones work? Talking obviously about indexed universal life and
or finish, go ahead and finish that, please.
Or indexing a dividend. I mean, the word in, you throw the word index in there and it's like there's all these different, like, it's like how those work is not how this works, right? We don't, I don't want any market correlate. I mean, is the business cycle working out so well for people? Like, is that, it's so strange to me that a certain subset of consumers of financial products are so eager to force elements of whole life and the infinite banking concept into their conventional language.
Yes.
When that conventional language and framework is not serving them. So what, and the insidious part is that, like you say, there's never a problem until there's a problem. There is a boom part to the boom bust cycle. Like for people who are not old enough or who haven't studied economic history enough or who, you know, are economically active into their adult life for only a short period of time, who haven't experienced these downturns, these systematic crashes, these fluctuating values of other financial assets, real estate included, cryptocurrency yep. included, all investments included, because all investments, the value of them is only dependent upon what somebody else will pay, and what somebody else will pay is not guaranteed, and a lot of what somebody else will pay is going to be influenced by the business cycle. So as someone who's not aware of that history or that way of thinking, just maybe naive to the idea that accumulating guaranteed capital under their own contractual control is a categorically different objective. Complete different, just distinct other world, different paradigm. Use what word you want. It's separate and apart. It stands alone from the conventional world. And the age, and this part of why it grinds me a little bit, is the agents who are trying to simplify and make it easy, and you know, they've got their paid coaching to go be better entrepreneurs and all this stuff, who want to, you know, dumb it down for you. They are not serving you by conflating what we're doing in IBC with everything else that goes on in the world.
Shocking. We went a little long, but we were having fun and hope you enjoy listening. We're going to pick it up from here next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.